So I've been walking through the kerygma. This is the second part of the kerygma. So last week we spoke about the expansiveness of the Lord, which kind of answers the question, why is there something rather than nothing? And the response is, because God willed it for our good, and through his creation, he helps us to glorify him. In today's homily, the question that we're trying to answer is, why is everything so obviously messed up? So this week I'm going to talk about the tragedy of sin. It's not fun to talk about sin, but we have to ask ourselves, if God is so good and so powerful, and if his original plan in creating us was for us to live in perfect harmony and friendship with God and with each other, then why on earth, or literally, why in hell is everything so obviously messed up? My hope and prayer for you today, as we speak about the tragedy of sin, is that you will feel a sense of the helplessness and the hopelessness of our situation apart from Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel begins with Christmas. But in order to appreciate how good the good news is, we have to hear the bad news first. And the bad news is not just bad. It's horrific. Who is our enemy? God is perfectly good, but one of the creatures he made chose to rebel against God. That creature is our enemy, Satan. Satan is not an equal rival to God. He is merely a creature. Why did he rebel against God? In the Book of Wisdom, it says that it was through the devil's envy that death entered the world, and those who belong to his party experience it. Who is he envious of? You and me. Why is he envious of us? Because he saw in God's plan for creation that he, an incredibly powerful angel, would have to serve us lowly human beings. He saw the happiness that God planned for us, and he resented it. So what did he do? Did he go to war with God? No. He knows he can't touch God. He's just a creature. So he went to war against the creature that God loves most. That is us. What is his goal? To enslave, humiliate, and destroy you. From the beginning of the human race, his goal has been to enslave those he was meant to serve, and to humiliate and degrade those whom God had created for such an exalted destiny. What's his strategy? To convince us that God is not a loving father, and that we can be happy without God. So it's important for us to remember this, because the evil one is so subtle in his trying to get us to begin to distrust the Lord. And when things don't go our way, or we encounter some type of suffering, there's this little nagging part in the back of our mind, in the depths of our heart, that says, the Lord isn't going to give us what we are looking for. And so we can easily begin to distrust him. What are his tactics? Well, he accuses, he lies, he divides, he flatters. Don't underestimate that. He's very good at throwing out smoke clouds to get us to look at this sharp, shiny object. But it is merely to catch our attention and draw us away from that which is most important. He also tempts and discourages. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell for the devil's lie. He told them that God was not a loving father. Did God tell you not to eat this fruit? That's only because he doesn't want you to be happy. And he told them that they would be happier without God. If you eat it, you will become like gods yourselves. So Adam and Eve sinned, and by doing so, they unknowingly sold themselves and the whole human race into slavery to powers we can't compete against, sin and death. So what does it mean to be under the power of sin and death? Picture that moment when Adam and Eve found the body of their son Abel. This scene is not in the Bible, but it has been captured in some very moving paintings. So imagine how they must have felt finding the body of Abel. There must have been shock at seeing a dead body for the first time. No human being had ever died before then. There must have been incredible grief over losing their beloved son. There must have been horror as they realized that the only person who could have done this to him was their other son. And then imagine how they must have felt as it slowly dawned on them that this might not have happened if they had not eaten the fruit and been cast out of the Garden of Eden. They must have been completely overwhelmed by a helplessness and hopelessness as it sunk in that sin could not be undone and death could not be reversed. They would never see Abel again, and Cain would wander the earth as a cursed man. We also feel the power of sin and death in our own lives. If you have ever buried a loved one, you have experienced the sting of death. And if you haven't yet, you will. No matter how good our health care, you can't stop death. We all die in the end. You can't win. You can't beat death. And what about sin? Sin is not just something you do, it is also a kind of power over us. Romans says all men are under the power of sin. What does that mean? St. Paul says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Have you ever done anything you didn't want to do, that you hated doing, that you know you shouldn't do, but you did it anyway? Why did you do it? Because sin is a power. Sin is power over us if we are not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the situation that we're all born into. Because we are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, we are born under the power of sin and death. We have been captured and sold into slavery. We are in the hands of a powerful enemy whose goal is to harm, use, degrade, humiliate, and destroy you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. That's the reality of our situation apart from Christ. Not just bad, horrific, and utterly hopeless. But we do have hope, because Christ has come to rescue us. That's what Christmas is all about. In the first reading, during the rest of the Mass, and in your prayer throughout this week, I want to encourage you to ask God to expose the lies that Satan is using to try and enslave you. Ask God to show you, where is he causing division in my life right now? Where is he flattering my ego right now? What temptation is strongest in my life right now? Where am I most discouraged right now? Where is the devil accusing me right now? What lie is crippling me right now? Ask God to set you free from whatever the answers are to these questions. God wants to set you free. And the beauty is when we come to know that God in his omnipotence shows us that omnipotence through his creation, knowing that he did it so that we might come to know him. No matter what the sin is, no matter how grave it is, we are merely a creature. He is God. Which means anything we can do, he can undo and restore to a greater degree than we ever knew before. So as we continue our journey towards Christmas, it is important to know why our Lord came. And it is because of the sin that we all have been kind of tied to through Adam and Eve in the original fall. And so we look forward with hopeful expectation, knowing the freedom that he is coming to bring us. Hopefully, we also know the weight of the sin that we have committed.